do you teach composition? I mean, how do you teach poetry?
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Professor of Music at McMaster University, where I teach harmony, counterpoint, composition, choral conducting, some music history and other topics as well. I also direct the music program at the Church of St. John the Evangelist on Lock Street. My musical development is a bit slow, I would say. As a child, there wasn't much music making in my family, but at school I could sing and then began playing the trumpet when I was 12. And from there moved into bands and then orchestras. And it wasn't until I began university that I began playing the keyboard, the piano. And I found that I like to be able to hear, to be able to play all the notes of a chord instead of just one at a time that you could do on the trumpet. So I did become interested in composition, but didn't really pursue it very actively. I thought that music theory would be a way into composition because music theory deals with all the rules and regulations about music, the systems, the patterns, whereas teaching composition and learning composition is not so systematic. When I was studying at university, I enrolled in a composition class and found that I really wasn't getting a lot out of it because it seemed that the composers, excellent composers, didn't necessarily know how to teach composition. Because how do you teach composition? I mean, how do you teach poetry? At McMaster, when we have composition classes, they're a small group of students, and the students have to come with some plan already in mind of what they want to do. They can't just come and say, oh, I want to compose, and that I would tell them what to do. They have to come with a plan. I want to write a three-movement piece for string orchestra, or I want to set the following poems to music for soprano and piano and clarinet, or whatever it might be. They have to have their own plan, their own self-starting, if you like. From there, I teach generally on an individual basis, and I talk about generally the structures of music, how music begins, how music grows, how music ends, how music makes sense within itself in terms that are applicable to any style of music, whether it be a traditional style such as tonal music of Bach or Beethoven, or an atonal style such as Schoenberg, or anything in between, really, that the music will have to make its own terms of reference. There's a large amount of critique involved. I do guide the students. I suggest to them, maybe from a given beginning that they might have, that I would suggest to them the issues that the music is referring to in itself, the way that the music is pointing in certain directions that they might not have realized. My own composition is fairly limited in scope. Basically, the way it works is I write music when there's music that I want that doesn't exist already. I write when there's a need that needs to be filled, so it's kind of utilitarian. I don't write because of sort of great personal inspiration in that way. I write to fulfill a need. So, for example, the music that we sing here on Sundays at the church, the regular parts of the music I've written because there was no existing music for those words that was really suitable. Okay, this is a funny one. Blessed be our Lord and Father. This one I wrote for a very bizarre reason. The minister said, well, I have a text here, and I have music, and I'd like it to be sung. Could I do that? So I had a look at it, and I really hated the text, and I hated the music. So I thought to myself, well, I'll rewrite the text the way I think it should go, and I'll write the music to go with that text. So it was the circumstance that came up with this. This one here, text by Boethius. I happen to be reading Consolation of Philosophy by Boethius, and it's a marvelous, marvelous work of philosophy that has some poetry in it. And there's a particular passage of poetry that really just spoke to me, and so I thought I would set that. This one here, I happened to be in the library and found a book by a Japanese author. I, again, really just like the text an awful lot and chose certain parts and used those. Some of these organ pieces I wrote while my children were keeping me up at night. I think that a composer has to be immersed in music in all different ways. Composer has to play music to know how it works. Composer should do an awful lot of writing of music. For example, I've done many, many arrangements, transcriptions over the years, being engaged with the music. You know, Bach learned an awful lot about composing just by copying the music of other composers, so he'd have his own copies. And that's something that's often neglected these days because we have photocopiers. We don't need to do that. But just engaging with the notes in a hands-on way is important. Doing a lot of listening, figuring out where your inspiration is coming from. Occasionally, my students will get into the situation where they get blocked. They want to write music, but they don't know how to start or how to keep going, and that's a big problem because they don't really have the picture, the whole picture of what it's supposed to be like, so they do get blocked. Composers can write for, you know, the movies and the television and the radio and all that. Composers are sometimes commissioned to write works for particular occasions. I would say that most composers don't make a living as composers, would probably make a living as a teacher. Musicians that have influenced me. Well, keep coming back to Bach. I just finished teaching a seminar on Bach at McMaster. Certainly a great influence on many, many composers. One of the contemporary composers that I really like is William Matthias. He died about 10 years ago, a Welsh composer. Really, writes really fun, interesting music.
How's the Canadian scene? And women as well?
Yeah, I think Alexina Louis is quite a well-known woman, Canadian composer. Over the last couple decades, the whole cultural scene has become so diversified that it's no longer possible to say, well, here are the top composers or anything, because it's just so diverse. Culture used to be in such a way that one could categorize like that. You can't anymore. Berceuse, based on a pre-existing tune by Samuel Sebastian Wesley, one of my favorite composers. So this is written while my son was keeping me awake at night.
And you'll hear that the musical style is a bit like that of Johannes Brahms.
Thank you.
call? Come along now, you'll be late for parade. Rip, 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 car.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Can I try the organ out with Madeline? Together would make the organ work.
There's some extra black shoes here. What are they for?
Well, I use shoes to play the organ. Shoes to play the organ.
The organists normally use shoes that have leather on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Some organists play in sock feet, but it's not the proper way to play.
Okay, here's the plan. You play chords up here. You play down here, just a chord.
The echo's in here.
No, just keep doing it.
It's hard having more than one composer at once, isn't it?
And then the top ones don't work while I'm doing the bottom ones. How come?
The organ has at least usually two manuals, sometimes more. And that the idea is, as you were thinking, is to have maybe an accompaniment on one manual and a melody on another manual. We can use something like you said, like your hand here. Right? Like your hand going here. And maybe something different over here. Yeah?
There do.
This one here is called the swell pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And all the pipes on that side are inside a box. And when you push the swell pedal,
oh,
the box opens. This one's called the crescendo pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And when I push the pedal,
slider.
It adds stops.
Mm-hmm.
You get more and more pipes.
Cool. What are these wooden things called here?
Pedals.
Just pedals. Cool. It's like tap dancing or something.
That's about it, and these are called pistons. I'll show you how I teach my students to improvise if you want. Start out like this. You say just white notes, right hand, half notes only, but continuous half notes. Can you do that? And then we go on to something like this. You get going at it, you can just say, okay, half notes on the black keys in the left hand, quarter notes on the white keys in the right hand. Mm. Two here, one there.
Fingers to these rather than these?
Well, these are called the stops.
What are stops?
Stops stop the sound.
Okay.
Stop everything. No, there's no sound.
I want to make it rather loud. Now, let's see. What kind of thing should I do?
Well, the more you put, the louder it'll be.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What are these ones without numbers on them? Mm.
They're blank.
What are blanks?
Blanks are nothing.
But why are they there?
For future.
Yeah. Rambunctious. Anyway, and this is a bit more of a rambunctious piece.
Like me?
Well, something like you.
Competition.
Mommy, which key do you like the most?
Which keys?
No, which key? Wait, I'll do it again, okay?
When you compose, is it just the music you're listening to?
Yeah.
But how do you know what to? How do you compose?
I just play. That's all. But I know most of my songs, and I know what they mean. But that part's private.
How long have you been composing?
Since I was one.
Maybe older, three.
Yeah, but yeah.
How old are you now, though?
Six.
My name's Evelina, and I'm going to talk about composition.
Do you get inspired by like a poem or a deer or your mood, or how does that work?
Not always. It's not necessary for that, but it makes good impressions on the song if you actually have something in mind. You just put your fingers on a key, you know, like a piano key. You just need to know like three chords maybe. You can find the Everyone's Prayer yourself.
What are some of the compositions that you've made so far?
One of them was Keepers of the Earth. That was my first one. Temple was kind of a bad one. And I don't write my compositions down much. I've only written one down in my entire life.
Are you going to start writing them down now?
Some of them, which I really like, yeah. I've only done one of them. And I'm still learning it myself because I don't play the whole thing through very much. So I'm writing it. I just play a little bit of it to make sure it fits in.
Okay.
The White Knight of Starlight. And it's kind of a funny name. I just like white and stars and light. Got inspired by Beauty and the Beast. Just the chord part here. It's kind of like that, only they don't have it in the right hand without chords.
Do you make up songs as well? Singing?
It's one of my favorite things to do. Almost better than composing on the piano because my voice is freer. Because I have complete power. I can go to the highest range I can go to and the lowest range I can go to. And the highest range is pretty high. I love making up words, but they're more private. I like poetry. That's why I sing. That's why I make words. So I could put poetry, singing, and piano playing all together. And I could make one where I'm playing the piano, singing, and using my poetry skill at the same time.
Do you have a favorite mood that you want to convey in your song?
Yeah. Really sad. I'm kind of high singing.
What's
soprano, if you know what I mean.
So do you think you want to study composition when you get older? Do you want to be a composer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a favourite composer?
I kind of get attracted to Beethoven. I don't like Glenn Gould because he never really composes very much. He's more of someone who plays other people's music. He plays them differently, that's the problem. I really prefer people like Mozart and Beethoven.
And Bach?
Not really, I don't like his name for one thing.
Dr. Renwick, yeah. He went to his composition class.
Yeah, well, I like this. There's one man, he's really good at composition. He was the first one to show his compositions, and he had really good compositions. I especially enjoyed the first, second, and last ones.
What did you think of the class size and everything, and just the atmosphere? Is it something you can see yourself being in when you get a bit older?
Maybe. I don't really like people telling me how to compose and all that. But maybe for piano playing and singing, but not for my composition. No, for composition, I just prefer to do it alone. Okay. No other people's ideas. Absolutely not. The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.